Welcome to the October Games Podcast, the monthly podcast that gives you behind-the-scenes news and progress on our current projects. I am Drake, the lead designer at October Games, with...
Hey, this is Roberto Aguilar. I am the 3D artist.
Awesome, awesome. So, Roberto, how's it going?
Good, man. Good. How are you feeling?
Pretty good. After we got greenlit, it seems to be... things seem to be getting done. Making progress on everything, moving forward.
Yeah, big thank you to everybody who voted. It was awesome, you know, getting that email. You've been greenlit. I couldn't believe it. I refreshed my browser like 10 times, and it was still there. It was awesome.
Well, you thought it might go away or something?
Yeah, I thought it could have been an error or something. Like, I refreshed my email, it was still there. And then I went to Steam, and I refreshed that, and it was still there. I was expecting it to disappear. Like, it was, like, an accident or something, but not, like, even every day I still check it, and it still has that big green hand with the thumbs up.
Awesome. Yeah, it's definitely one of the, like, it's, like, the first big thing that we needed to accomplish to get this game done, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thanks to everyone that voted again, and we'll try not to let you down. But yeah, so Roberto, what have you been working on?
Actually, a few surprises for Crypticon. So we've been talking about a few environments that I know the original post said, you know, one environment, you know, bring your friends, get stalked. But, you know, after we got greenlit, we were talking about, you know, making the game bigger. And a lot of the comments were, you know, make the game bigger. And, you know, we've been talking a lot of what cool things could we add into the game. What could we bring to it? And, one of the ideas we were talking about, I've been working on that.
Well, actually, this game's gone through a couple different release concepts. Or originally, we were going to release it with just one legend and one environment because we were going to release it in Halloween of last year. But we didn't get greenlit in time. I kind of didn't. We had problems with the programming. So, and I was talking to Dan, and Dan was like, Drake, we only get to release this game once, so let's not rush it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a great point. Let's keep this thing, let's try to make it the best as possible can, and release it when it's ready. I hope people can appreciate that. We don't want to just throw it out there, because the first impressions are very important to a lot of people, so I don't want to screw this up. This is like my dream project for video games, so... I gotta do it right.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. But the idea was the game's was always gonna have more than one legend and environment and whatnot. But at the time we didn't have enough resources to make everything we needed. So, but now that we're pushing to get more of official backing behind this thing, we're gonna try to do everything right and get everything done that we need. Done before release.
Mm-hmm. No, it's actually pretty cool. Like, since we've been greenlit, I kind of feel it's a fresh start. Like, there's a lot of cool things that are built and a lot of cool ideas, but since we've been greenlit, all those ideas have been expanding. So definitely, you know, like you said, first impressions are very important, and definitely we don't want to release anything that, you know, sucks, basically. So, yeah, I mean, it's actually been a breath of fresh air. It's been very, very energizing. I feel like the first day you called me and you told me about the idea, hey, let's try to get this out for October. Here's what we could do. Let's get to it. I mean, it feels like that again.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure when this game's going to be released now. We're really focusing on the convention in May.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to try to get some kind of crowdfunding thing set up for around that time and do a lot of marketing for the game and try to get people interested. Right now, we barely have any of a following, but hopefully after the convention, that'll change and we'll be able to start launching a fundraising campaign once more eyes are on us.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I've been working on T-shirts and posters and the comic book that we'll be selling at the convention and will be part of the backer rewards for the crowdfunding. I'm not sure if we're going to do Indiegogo or Kickstarter. I still think Indiegogo might be the best choice, but we'll see. Everything's up in the air right now. I feel like depending on how things go, we could determine things could change in a month. So, but yeah, I've been modeling all sorts of new legends for the next trailer, but which will be ready by May.
Mm-hmm.
And this is pretty fun. We got I don't know if I should talk about which ones are going to be in there or leave it to be a surprise, but we're going to try to give you a nice variety of legends to play with and environments to go along with them.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah. I think it'll pick up probably after the con.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, it is pretty slow right now. I know there's a lot of people following it on YouTube and Twitter and Facebook. But yeah, we've been working hard on definitely, I guess, establishing the style of October Games in terms of content and fun, really. Because, I mean, we definitely want to make stuff that people enjoy and they'll keep playing it. And, you know, sort of the original concept is still there where, you know, when Harvard Legends comes out, it will have, you know, X amount of content in it as a good springboard for people to start playing. And then, like we were talking in the first podcast, we want to keep adding on to it so people could keep playing, keep the fun going. And definitely, yeah, also besides that, we've also been working hard on our web presence. We have everything locked down now, the new site, the forum, and everything is set up so, you know, people could, you know, come in and join the fun. But yeah, like you said, you know, it will be slow at first, but, you know, once it picks up, I would say especially, you know, after the con, and then once all the stuff we've been working on slowly, you know, starts being unveiled, then, you know, definitely interest will grow, and, you know, people who have been following it will get to see the Steam edition of Horror Legends compared to the first original idea that we had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's gonna be a lot of work, but it's gonna be well worth it, I think.
Oh yeah, hopefully, yeah, definitely.
Hopefully, we'll have everything set up by the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Full on development. If you know, we should know if this game's actually gonna happen in May or after May. Like once the fundraising campaign is finished, then we'll know if. If we can continue on developing, but the main thing we're trying to do is get enough money to hire a couple programmers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been like the that's been the one thing that we've had trouble with lately is just finding a programmer to stay on the team and actually get the game working. We have a lot of prototypes built, but nothing concrete enough to release yet.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, that's oh man, I had this idea. It just slipped my mind. Shit. Go ahead. It'll catch on.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think in the trailer we're gonna in the trailer we're gonna announce five legends total, including Punky. There's gonna be three cast members in it and three environments. But when the game's released, we're trying to aim for at least a couple maps per legend. So Pumpkin might get two maps or something that fits him. Then you have other legends that have kind of maps that are themed towards them as well. And then once all that's done, you'll be able to mix and match them and have a lot of fun that way. If you want to check the Greenlight page and our website, there's a new description of the game. That kind of gets in more detail about what we're going to do and release. It kind of encompasses the mixing and matching aspect of the game that I think is going to make this thing different from a lot of other horror games, horror multiplayer games. I think the biggest thing horror does is one of the key elements of horror is mystery.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of games, after you play a game once, it's kind of all the mystery's gone. So we're trying to design this game to keep the mystery alive as long as possible by allowing that mixing and matching that mechanic. So you're entering you enter a server and you're not exactly sure. If you're playing a cast member, you're not exactly sure what monster is going to be picked in that map, and when the game starts, you're kind of just wandering into this environment, not knowing what's going to come at you. And I think that's where all the fear is going to come in, and depending on how good the monster is after that,
mm-hmm.
I think it allows for an interesting gameplay mechanic.
Yeah, I finally remember what I was going to say. Once you said map, it came back to me. So yeah, basically, you know, we're working on it every day, on our free time. But yeah, I mean, it would be nice if, you know, things moved in a direction where, you know, we could be working on it full time. But even though, you know, quote, it's part time, which is, you know, outside of work and whatever, it's still, you know, 8-10 hours a day, and definitely, you know, moving forward and getting things in the right direction.
Yeah. Not to mention, if you have any questions about the game, or you need to, if you have any ideas, please join our forum or email us at info@octobergames.com and like give us your thoughts, and we'd love to hear them. You know, if you want to, if you're playing the interactive trailer and there's problems with that, please log on to our forum as well. We'll be able to help you there. We want to be able to, you know, give you any technical service we can, and maybe shoot the shit as well.
Yeah, definitely, you know, drop by, hang out, and, you know, as we release stuff, basically the idea is it won't just sit as is. If there's any problem to it, you know, definitely we'll address that, and just keep adding on to everything we make, and make everything super fun, because I think that's one of the main goals of October Games, where, you know, we want to make stuff that is fun for everybody, and, you know, hopefully, you know, inspire people the way, you know, games have inspired us, and, you know, inspire those people to come together and, hell, you know, make their dream projects and, you know, make it happen.
I don't know, man. What should we talk about next?
No, yeah, for anybody listening, you know, this is the first October Games podcast without, I don't want to say a script, but definitely without guidelines. So the only main point we wanted to make was, we've been greenlit, and, you know, it's an awesome refresh, reboot, and, you know, definitely lighting a fire under our asses to, you know, keep going. But yeah, I mean, basically, you know, it's just, you know, the Drake and myself, and, you know, just hang out.
If you're not aware of this, we're going to be at Seattle CryptoCon this year. It's, I think, the biggest horror convention in the Seattle area. We're going to have all sorts of cool stuff there. You know, like I said before, we're going to have a comic. We're going to try to build up a story for each legend throughout the development of the game. And release comic books to kind of, because I've done a lot of comic book work in the past, and I feel like I want to bring some of that in. Me and Dan have actually been talking about, like, what are some clever ways to bring a story into a multiplayer game that haven't really been done before. I mean, we don't want to, like, take away from the gameplay mechanics because we want to do story. We want to make the game but, you know, try to put in a story behind it. Like, mm-hmm. What is the legend behind these monsters and killers? And we're going to release a series of comics with the same name for each legend in the series. So every time we announce a new legend in the future, we'll have a comic to back it up eventually. And you can read about, like, what caused them to become what they are, and or what happened, you know, kind of their story. It's kind of cool. The first one's going to be about Punky and how he... It's going to be vague at the same time. It's not going to have a lot of... I'm not going to, like, go into, like, Punky's, you know, like he was a little kid and he was picked on or anything. That's not it at all. All right, it's not gonna. It's gonna be. It's gonna be from like a for Pumpkin's story. It's gonna be focused on the last girl to survive his first attack.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of gives you an idea of what Pumpkin's like. It's not from Pumpkin's perspective. So I don't want to. There's no mystery ruin there because, like, mystery is, like I said this before, mystery and surprise is going to be key in this game's design. Hopefully, in our environment design, we'll add some. I would like to add some, like, clues to their backstory. So if you're clever enough, you can seek those out and find more about the character by exploring the environments. But yeah. That's what I've been working on as well. Just, you know, a lot of drawing and 3D modeling and animation prep for the trailer.
Yeah, that's one cool thing about Horror Legends, that it's a pretty, I mean, it's a really, really good concept, and it'll lend itself well to other media. For example, in this case, comics, because like you said, you know, there's a lot of stuff that we could do with it, and who knows, maybe even for a future map or a future legend, you know, it could have a brief introduction with you know, a comic, either full print or digital, and then it'll, you know, then the environment and character would be released, and then you already have that set up, so you already know about the legend. So basically, once you come in and meet the legend, you know who you're dealing with.
Yeah, like it makes it fun.
Plus, it kind of gives that old school feel of. I remember in grade school, you know, kids would come in and, oh my god, did you see the latest, you know, Freddy movie or whatever? No, what is it about? Oh yeah, you know, this and this happened, and you know, hopefully we could get the same vibe going with the comics. Like, oh man, there's a new Horror Legends comic out. What is it? And it could be, you know, this, and then it'll set up, you know, X and X, you know, content that would come out later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to tell off like an arcing story too with some continuing characters amongst throughout the series. So it's not going to just be one offs, but there might be an arc as well. But we'll see. A second comic is kind of a long ways away. I'm still working on the first, but just some thoughts that something I've been working with as I've been drawing and stuff. But things are coming along really well with the convention prep too. We're gonna have I've dubbed it Slasher Tag.
Mm-hmm.
We're hosting an event, so we're not just gonna have a table there with some swag on it. We're gonna have this room. We're gonna have almost two rooms dedicated to us, where we have kind of a maze built out for you with an actor inside. Gonna try to scare the shit out of you. Dressed as Pumpkin. And it's a game. It's not just a haunted house. It's a kind of tag, you know. But if the monster, it's like flashlight tag. If the monster sees you moving, he's gonna send you out. He's gonna catch you and you're out. And if you get through the maze, we'll give you a reward, and you get bragging rights or whatever. But yeah, it's pretty cool. I'm really looking forward to it. We have a actually, I don't know if I told you this, Roberto, but we have a guy I met at the con last year,
mm-hmm.
does physical props and effects. He's going to be designing the suit.
Oh, nice.
His name's Kevin Bacon. It's not the Kevin Bacon. His name is Kevin Bacon. But it's kind of a joke that he his name is Kevin Bacon. I don't know if he has an official site yet, but I'll put it under the shout-outs page on our website once it's up and running. But he's kind of a solo artist. He's made armor. He's recreated armor from Star Trek Troopers. He's done the proton pack from Ghostbusters, not the official, but like he's made replicas and stuff. And he's gonna do a Pumpkin costume for us, and it's gonna be awesome. We have an actor inside the maze, you know, trying to scare you with it, and it's gonna be fun. Can't wait.
Nice, yeah, dude. That's gonna look awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's pretty much it for me as far as news. But we've been working on. It's been a lot of things going on right now. So, You know, we didn't get a chance to make a podcast last month because, you know, holidays and getting greenlit and the prepping for the con. It was insane. And we're not really set up to do podcasts. Like, it took us about 30 minutes to get this podcast rolling. So, yeah.
Sure, yeah.
Apologize for not having one last month, but, you know, we're video game designers first and podcasters probably fifth.
20th.
Yeah, something like that. But we want to give you guys a chance to hear, get to know us a bit better. You know, if you're going to be supporting us, then it's only right that you get to know who you're supporting. And so that's the point of these podcasts, just to talk to you guys and answer your questions. We haven't gotten any questions yet, you know, but most of the questions are coming through Facebook, but I just answer them right on the spot. I don't really save them for the podcast because the podcast is like not even in my head at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, we're not podcasters; we're designers. So, but yeah, you know, just get a chance to hear our voice and talk to us and what have you. But I don't know, Roberto. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, I mean, production wise, that's it. It's just, you know, a lot of back and forth of, hey, what do you think about this idea? And then, oh, yeah, that's great. That sucks. Let's, you know, a very, very, very good back and forth, though. We've been, you know, cutting out the fat from the bad ideas. And the ideas that we have that we are working on, it's really good stuff. It's just, you know, that production time of you know, getting it out. And I remember in college, my favorite, one of my favorite instructors ever, instructors ever, you know, Jim Rohn, he said this one joke in our final production class that is, you know, very, very true. And, you know, we think about it every day that as soon as a project starts, you're already behind schedule. So, yeah, you know, just all the work involved, but it's a very fun uphill climb. And I don't mean uphill in, you know, oh, this is impossible. No, I mean uphill in, you know, there's just so much to do that, you know, you just, you know, one step at a time and, you know, definitely enjoying every stride in that step.
You know, something you guys don't know is that Roberto and I were actually in that class together. Roberto and I have been friends for a long time. I've worked together, we had a same first job and, you know, whatever, but, yeah, I remember him saying that. Yeah, it stuck with me.
There are definitely a lot of good moments there. But yeah, I mean, basically, you know, working hard on this and regrouping, but not in a bad way where, oh, this sucked, let's, you know, start over. No, you know, again, regrouping in a good way where, yes, we were greenlit. You know, basically we have more time now to, you know, really, really, really take care of this and release it the way we wanted to release it.
And can I take a moment just to say, like, Steam's awesome, man. Like,
oh, yeah, dude.
I got that email saying we've been greenlit, and I'm like, oh, shit, I got to get all this paperwork together. I have to set up a company. I'm going to have a bank account, you know, all set up. Like, I wasn't, you know, quite ready for that yet. And, like, I read through the emails, and it says, there's no time limit on this thing. You just do it whenever you're ready. I'm like, man, that's awesome. Like I don't have to worry about that right now. Like, we're not ready to release right now. It's just we have that ability to release, and I know that now it's going to help us get the resources we need, that the fact that we're greenlit. So yeah, it's just amazing, like this, that greenlight service. I know a lot of people abuse it, but I like to think that we'll rise above that and try to release something really good. And I work endlessly trying to get this project done right, because this is the game I've always wanted as far as horror multiplayer goes. I'll save that for another day.
No, man, go ahead, fuck it.
No, I mean...
Alright, well, I'll jump in, but, yeah, dude, Steam is something else. It's great how... It's funny, I mean, I love Valve. I have a huge, you know, art boner for Valve. They're really good at what they do. They're awesome. And the fact that, you know, they've given us a chance to be on their platform. It's great. I mean, who does that? Nobody does that. And you know, you know, the sky's the limit now. I'm not going to say we, you know, Drake put this together. He had this idea. You know, I was fortunate enough to get an invite to participate. But, you know, that vision has been welcomed with open arms by Valve, by the Steam community. And it's just crazy how, you know, one day we're talking about it and Drake's, you know, giving me all these ideas. And, you know, I'm a pretty, you know, a fantasy guy where when I hear something or get excited about something, I see it in my head and, you know, I saw it. And now we basically, you know, it's like we get that handshake from Gabe himself. All right, guys, go to work and come back when you're ready. So it's something else, man. It's great. It's an awesome feeling.
Yeah, for sure, man.
Yes, and then I'm not sure if we mentioned this, but we actually got greenlit, I want to say like three days before New Year's. So, you know, what a way to end a year and what a way to start a year. It's, you know... on the biggest high, on the biggest creative high, you know, I'm sure either of us or anybody on the team has ever had that, you know, wow, it's great.
Well, you know, also on that note, this also want to thank, you know, Troy from Crypticon, allowing us to get, you know, hooking us up with the room. And, you know, I talked to him, I sat down and talked to him like one day in October and just pitched him my idea for Horror Legends and... and my event idea where, you know, we have a live action pumpkin and everything. He just loved it. You know, he's been so great helping us out, and he's doing us a solid by giving us that room and allowing us to promote our product and talk to, you know, meet new fans and stuff. So, you know, thanks to Troy and Crypticon and all those folks. So they've been really great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dude, that's also an amazing opportunity there. There's going to be a lot of great people there, and the fact, you know, that we're lucky enough to, you know, be in the same space as they are, and then having the chance to meet, you know, all awesome people that will show up, you know, it's going to be great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, man. So, what else is there? Let me just talk about Puppet Master really quick. So, we got an interactive, it is interactive, but it's not called that. The Puppet Master of the game, multiplayer prototype coming out soon. It's not going to be a final game at all. It's just the concept of what I want the final version to be like. I bought a prototype and we modified the hell out of it to match what we wanted for the Puppet Master game that would have happened if we got all the paperwork signed. But it's going to be coming out soon. You guys look forward to that if you're a Puppet Master fan. And it's going to have a special thing. It's going to have a petition attached to it that if you really want the Puppet Master game to happen, I want you guys to sign it. And I'm going to release the game with the petition attached to it. And it would just click on a button on the in the game, and it'll bring you right to the petition. You just sign it, you know, or write why or whatever. And if I get enough signatures, I'm not sure how many it's going to be yet, but I'll send it to Full Moon. And I would love to, you know, just show Full Moon, like, the gaming, the really profitable and legit thing for Puppet Master. I think Puppet Master really lends itself well to a video game, and I think we should keep pushing for it, even though, you know, it's kind of dried out a bit. But, you know, I'm kind of glad it did, because that wouldn't give us a chance to work on Horror Legends, and I feel like if I waited any longer with Horror Legends, it would have been too late to make it. And a lot of the ideas for Puppet Master the game were I was just taking from my Horror Legends idea and putting it in Puppet Master, because once we got that chance to make one, I just went with it. Like, okay, I have this idea, and let's put those in Puppet Master, and we kind of reversed it, but it's going to be the interactive, I keep saying interactive because that's the interactive trailer, but it's a separate build. It's not going to be part of the interactive trailer. It's a multiplayer prototype only. There's no single player around at all. It's just going to have, you're going to have four playable puppets. It's going to have Blade, Tunneler, Jester, and Torch are going to be playable. And then you're going to have one guy, one survivor, I guess you can call it cast member, similar to Horror Legends in it. And you're going to be able to do four up to four puppets versus one survivor. And it's a lot of fun. We've done some beta. We did some beta testing here with it, and had a blast. It's very simple. It's nothing to. It's not going to break any like gaming records, but I think Puppet Master fans are going to enjoy it. It gives you a chance to play as those characters in a multiplayer setting, very similar to what we wanted to build with full funding and all that. But it's something that holds you over until it happens, and. If you guys show enough interest in it, well, I might add new characters later or new maps, but you're going to get two maps. You're going to get the workshop from the interactive trailer that has been kind of revamped, and the cabin from Puppet Master 2. I don't know if you remember that scene where the fat woman... That was terrible. I should have said that. I can't think of a nice way to describe her, but
the heavy set lady.
The heavy set hillbilly in the cabin fighting the puppets, where she gets burned alive by torch, but that's the environment we created. You'll be able to play in that, so basically, that way that map works. So you're going to be the human character is going to be locked in the small environment as the puppets try to sneak into the cabin and try to take her out. Or it's actually him in the prototype, but you get the idea. You get a shotgun and you just gotta fight off the puppets as long as you can. But it's fun. I like that level a lot because it's really dark and you get to hide in the shadows and come out. You know, it's really cool to just see these little puppets come at you from the human side. Just want to let you guys know that's coming out soon. So
yeah,
look forward to that.
It's actually a very, very fun experience once. I mean, on either side, like Drake said, you know, if you're the human, you know, you see all these puppets coming at you, and, you know, they're all different, and they all have their own attributes, so it's pretty freaky how you're trying to defend yourself against, you know, these puppets that, you know, they're basically, you could say the same thing, but they're so different and unique, and especially on the puppet side, you know, you're running around, you know, as Blade, and then you see, you know, maybe Torch just... you know, lighting someone up, and it's actually, we had some pretty cool moments. Once you guys, you know, get a nice game going, and you know, everybody jumps in, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, so that should be coming out in probably a couple of months at least. I still have a few things to work out on it, but mostly focusing on Horror Legends and the event coming up. But I know you guys are here for Puppet Master, so I'll deliver on that.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully, you know, it would be nice to deliver to the Puppet Master fans the Puppet Master project we want to do. But, you know...
Oh, yeah.
But right now, since this is the only thing we could do, I mean, definitely, it's still a lot of fun. But, you know, we haven't forgotten that people are really interested in Puppet Master. And, you know, we like it a lot ourselves. I mean, Drake, don't even get me started. But but definitely, you know, we're thinking about you.
Yeah, man, I have a whole story planned out for the official game, man. Like, it's gonna be awesome. I'll have to write a script, but I wish I could talk about it. Like, I don't want to ruin it, but I'm really passionate about this story. I mean, like, just the fact that, like, when I'm a kid, when I was a kid, and I love that series, and. You know, getting a chance to make the official product of it, it's just like a dream come true. So I would not steer you wrong. Hopefully, so far, you're pretty confident in it. I think that about wraps it up. And it's a shorter podcast, but we don't want to drag these on too long. We don't have much. We just want to give you an update, you know, a more personal update on what's going on here at October Games. So, yeah, I don't know. What do you think, Roberto?
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, production-wise, yes, that's definitely all the news. Did you want to, you know, nerd out, or?
I'm always nerding out, man. That's how I live.
Cool. So what?
I don't know. Like, have you played any we started playing Contagion last week. I love that game, man.
Oh, yeah. Contagion. I definitely want to play more of that. Yeah, that was actually pretty tense, even though for a second there, some people joined that hunt server. So, you know, we got scared pretty quick, but, you know, they ended up leaving, and then we jumped into another server where, you know, our own teammates were trying to shoot us. But I mean, I'm a big fan of, you know, anything zombie related, and I actually really dig the feel of that game. I mean, I know there's a lot of snobs out there that it doesn't look good or it looks outdated.
Hey, it looks good, man. I think it's
awesome. Yeah, it's great. It's fun, and I mean, people definitely should give it a try if anybody listening hasn't. I mean, I'm sure they've seen it, but you know, maybe they haven't picked it up. But I mean, keep an eye on it.
Yeah. There's a lot of zombie games out there, and I think Contagion's probably my favorite one so far, because if I were to design a zombie game, that would be Contagion. So, like, that pretty much says I'm never going to design a zombie game because it's already been done. That's fine. I'm fine with that. You know, I love how they designed that game, though. It's great, the environments and the character. I mean, the characters are they're basically just models, but... yeah, this is the way that the game's designed. You know, the weapons are randomly spawned, and it's very immersive. You can play as a zombie. You can command zombies in that game. It's pretty cool.
I actually really like the weight that the characters had. For example, I mean, we love Left 4 Dead, but I mean, you know, Left 4 Dead is pretty out there with how your handguns never run out of ammo and whatnot. I mean, it's still good fun, but.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I love the different feel of Contagion. It actually reminded me a lot of Killzone. I love Killzone, but and it's funny. Back in the day, you know, everybody, all my friends, you know, they were playing Halo, and there was always this big debate of how smooth, you know, Halo felt compared to Killzone. But no, man, I mean, it felt great. You have a big gun; you're not going to be jumping, you know, over crap and. You know, kicking somebody in the face midair, you know, you're going to be, you know, you feel it. And that's one of the great things about Contagion. You really feel, I don't want to say limited, but you really feel legit. Like, you know, if the zombie apocalypse was happening, you know, you wouldn't be running around trying to kick everybody in the face. You'd be thinking about what you were doing. And that's definitely Contagion.
Is that, are you poking at Resident Evil with that line? Like, I know there's a lot of martial arts in Resident Evil for some reason.
A little bit, okay. Maybe.
Like, why is a zombie? Let me roundhouse kick him in the face. Like, no, I probably wouldn't do that. I'd probably just hit him in the head with a knife or something.
I'd probably just run away.
Well, I mean, if you had to. Like, you're not going to roundhouse kick him. That's the last thing you probably would want to do.
Yeah.
Probably push him or, like, you know, use your foot, you know, kick him to push him away, but not, like, martial arts him to death, like in Resident Evil. You know, I like, don't get me wrong, I like the Resident Evil 5's co-op and stuff, and Resident Evil 4 was cool, and the first three are okay, but 6, I played 6, like, last year, and it was just bizarre, like, the game basically forced you to play a certain way, I hate quick time events. I mean, that's kind of a dried up topic. But you'll never see a quick time event in my games. Like, that's what I'm sure.
You have to do a quick time to use the menu?
I mean, basically what a quick time event is. Like, it's just, it presses this button when I tell you to. And, I mean, it's not the menu, but it's lazy. And I think it's like, if you want to show me something cool, I'm sitting there watching it, and then all of a sudden a button comes up, and I go, oh shit, I grab my controller, and then, like, I die. And, like, I gotta watch that again. It's like, that's not... fun. Like, is that fun? Who finds that fun? Like, I don't understand.
I mean, it was cool.
Innovative at first.
Yeah, the first two games, God of War and Resident Evil, I mean, that was cool. That was fresh. But, you know, everything after that, like, nah. I don't know. Right. Yeah, it's weird.
I don't know. I've been playing, I started playing Depth. You ever played Depth before?
No, I've seen the videos. That's that shark game, right? Like that shark versus humans?
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
I like it. It looks really good, but I'm actually afraid of underwater. Like, it creeps me out.
Oh, then it's the game for you, man.
Yeah, I mean, I could imagine, you know, you're probably... Me, I'd probably be hiding in, you know, behind this rock or something, or within the weed, thinking I'm safe, and then all of a sudden, teeth come on screen. I'll probably scream like a 14-year-old girl.
Oh, yeah, Bruno, I can tell that game would make you scream. Because you'll be swimming along one moment, and you're like, oh, everything's cool, I'm just guarding this robot, trying to do its, like, it's drilling something. And then all of a sudden, you're inside a shark's mouth, and it's just chomping down on you. It's a pretty awesome game. Like, the first time it happened to me, it scared the shit out of me. And you're really on edge, because it's like in most horror games, you're looking at you're pretty much watching a 360-degree angle. You know, or you're watching completely around you, but in this game, every angle a shark can come from, because you're in water. You know, it can come from above, it can come from below. It's just like, it's really unnerving. You can never check corners enough in that game. And I think it's, that game is pretty fun.
Yeah, that's the cool thing about it, how you're basically bait. And, you know, like you said, in a lot of games, you know, I don't want to say you have an advantage, but you definitely, you do have some bit of an edge where you could, guard all the angles around you. But, oh man, just imagine, I'd probably keep getting either bit from behind or I'd probably get pulled down. Now, I've been playing a lot of, actually a lot of old school, you know, PS1 RPGs. Well, not a lot, but. My wife, she has, she loves RPGs, and she dusted up her collection, and we started playing them. We're going through them one at a time, and there's this one game we're playing. It's really good, but it was really slow to begin with. Like, if I had played it by myself, I would have stopped. But what's it called? Legend of Legaia? I'm probably pronouncing it wrong.
But I never played those games, man.
It's actually pretty cool. Actually, the concept of it, it's sort of like the movie The Mist, because there's mist and there's creatures in the mist, but you have an edge because you have those same creatures on you, and they're basically like a piece of armor. So, you know, you could fight, but at first it started really slow, and I want to say really, you know, classic, you know, JRPG style, where, hey, this is a village, and... oh, you have friends, and you care about their lives and whatnot. But, you know, once it picked up, I want to say it took probably 4, maybe 5 hours for it to, you know, really get like, okay, wow, you know, this is going to be cool. But, any you know, RPG fans out there that, you know, might have missed it or never heard of it, I mean, definitely give it a try. It's just so creative. For example, there's this one part where, so basically, in order to save the world, you have to start reviving these trees. They're called the Genesis trees, and once you revive those, this wave comes out of it, and it clears the mist from that area, and then, you know, you could move freely within that area, and then move on to the next area, which are other towns covered in mist. So you have to find those trees and revive them. But obviously, you know, it's not that simple. You know, there's probably a boss or two before them and a couple quests you got to do. But there was this one part where we cleared the final piece, the final town in this one big piece of land. And you need to go to the next island. And you have to take a train, but it's a sky train. So the people there use these creatures as tools. So you go to take this train ride as a thanks for saving their town, and there's a cart there, and they tell you to get in, and you're like, well, what's gonna, you know, pull this cart? So there's three crew members, and one of them has, I mean, you know, again, you know, PS1 graphics, 1996, 98-ish, probably this game came out, and this one character has these like Doc Ock arms on his back. And this guy gets on the cart and he jumps, and there's a flash, and that creature that he has on his back transforms into this like giant train that is basically monkey barring down the tracks. And you know, it was pretty cool. I didn't expect that, and you know, it's really fun.
How do you expect that? Like, how do you expect that? Like, this is.
No, yeah, I mean, it was totally out there, and, you know, it was fun. I saw this guy, and I was like, Dr. Octopus, what the fuck is he doing there? And then, you know, he transforms into this, you know, cyborg-looking train, and, you know, that's going to take you to the next island. And, I mean, it's fun. I have a big, I'll say this nice, for anybody who doesn't know me, you could ask Drake, I'm a pretty weird, pervy guy, but... You know, I have a.
You said that, not me. You said you're a perfect guy.
I have a, you know, big soft spot for, you know, old school stuff, especially.
Or it's a hard spot.
I didn't say that. That was you.
I don't know. I'm just putting two and two together.
So yeah, basically, you know, anything I missed, because you know, there was a period in my life where I was a big, I want to say, arcade snob, where if it wasn't in the arcade, I wouldn't play it. And you know, this is during the whole period of, you know, Sega CD, Sega Saturn. No, not Sega CD. No, actually, that's the Unicorn. That's the one system I didn't get to play, and I regret it. Sega Saturn, Dreamcast, you know, early PS1, some N64 stuff. But you know, now, you know, now that I'm old, you know, grown ass man, now I'm actually buying all these titles that I was interested in, and you know, checking them out. We have one friend that you know he helps out now and there on the projects. Who he's a big snob that, you know, if it's not next gen, he's not playing it. And he's a cool guy though, but I know this game Drake will give it a try, but he'll be like, nah, it doesn't look like Mass Effect, so I'm not trying it.
Yeah. Would it be weird if I bought an Atari Jaguar just for Alien vs. Predator?
Dude, I'd buy an Atari Jaguar just for Alien vs. Predator.
That was a game I always wanted as a kid, like that particular version.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never played it, and I've played the, you know, played way too much of that, those of other AVP games, so
yeah.
Why not play this one? I don't know, it cost me like $120 at least probably to get that console and game.
I'm actually curious, is that like the only AVP game you don't have and played, and you haven't played?
Dude, yeah. You should definitely. Because it's an Atari Jaguar.
Yeah.
And I remember as a kid seeing, like, oh man, I want that game, and never got around to it, you know. It kind of, you forgot about the Atari Jaguar after a while, and I've recently started to. I went down a rabbit hole on the internet and I found a bunch of cool images of that game. Like, man, this game looks so weird.
Mm-hmm.
It just there was like they used like you could tell you they used like figurines for the alien, and they just took pictures of them and then animated them and stuff, and it's just weird. Like it's like Doom AVP. It's kind of cool. It's Omar Rebellion, the same guys who've done the AVP Classic and AVP 2010. Which I put too many hours into those games as it is, but they seem to know what they were doing, you know?
No, yeah, dude, fuck yeah. I mean, check that out. I mean, I'd be interested in checking it out myself, definitely.
I was talking to this one guy. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, well, I was talking to this one guy at a game store or something, and he's like, I'm like, so where can I find an Atari Jaguar? He's like, man, I don't even know if you can find a, like, it's like, not many people know how to even work that thing, like, like, I don't know why would you, like, how would you find one that would actually work, or, I guess, apparently it's, like, kind of an unwieldy console to even, like, start up, much alone to, like, play.
I think it's, you know? I remember seeing a video about that on YouTube. I think it's the CD add-on that basically, I think it would plug into the cartridge tray. It looked like a toilet. I think that's the part that's pretty unreliable, but the cartridge themselves, I could swear, I've heard they're really solid, but it's just that CD add-on that, you know, I mean, I could imagine back in the day, that thing must, the add-on itself must have been like $200-$300. Could you imagine, you know, coming home after a month, it doesn't work?
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know if I have the right connections on my TV to play one of those. It might have some weird-ass, like, connectors. I haven't done much research. I just kind of, like, started thinking about it, like, a week ago or so. Like, oh, man, it'd be kind of cool to try that out, you know. But,
Yeah, it's just really
cool. Have you ever played... I actually recently picked up the first Evil Dead video game. You ever played that? For the PS1?
Hail to the King?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, I could not... I mean, I could get out of the cabin, but I couldn't walk around the cabin. I'd get killed so fast.
That's the same problem I'm having. Like I got kind of irritated with it. It takes, like, 40 hits to kill one of those monsters.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, okay, I'll try... and then I loaded it up another day. I'm like, okay, let me just try avoiding all the monsters. And, like, I realized I don't think I can open doors until all the monsters are dead. So, like, there's no way I'm going to kill these monsters. I can't... Also, getting the chainsaw to work is a pain in the ass.
So, yeah, I think you need gas, right? To get it to work.
Yeah, you need gas. And, like, I really wanted to play that game because, like, I like that old school style, and it's like, hell, it's Ash. Might as well give it a shot, but I don't know. I don't know if I can actually. I don't know if I can get into it. It's two discs, so it must be really long, but... have you ever played any other Evil Dead games?
Yeah, I actually have the PS2 games. What are they called?
Fistful of Boomstick and Regeneration.
Yeah, those. I remember Regeneration came out $20 brand new. I mean, back in the day when I was at GameStop. And it has Sam Raimi's brother as a sidekick.
Yeah, I actually beat that game. I actually played through that game.
Yeah, that one's much better than Boomstick. Boomstick was cool, and I picked it up when I first got my PS2, which was after my, you know, arcade era snobbery. That was like the first console I got. Since, you know, the Sega was dead, I was kind of uninterested in consoles. But I actually, you know, picked it up, and I really enjoyed it. And it's funny, my brother...
Fistful of Boomstick?
Yeah, I mean, I really like the whole... I mean, again, remember before... Well, I mean, I don't want to say before, but, you know... until the PS1 era, that's when games really, really surprised you in terms of scope and, you know, stuff they would put into it. So, you know, hearing Bruce Campbell within the game was awesome. And then, you know, running around in 3D, that was mind-blowing at the time. But it's funny, when I first got my PS2, I picked that up, and my brother, who I don't think he's ever played a video game in his life, he's like 10 years older than I am, he made me buy a mech game and another controller. Oh yeah, we're gonna play, I'm gonna kick your ass. That I never touched that game. To this day, it's still in a drawer.
A mech game for the PS2?
Yeah, what's it called? Armored Core?
Armored Core? I've used to play that game, man. That game is very hard to get into.
Yeah, it's actually from the guys from Dark Souls, right?
Yeah. Who is that?
From Software?
From Software. Probably most generic game studio name ever.
No, it's...
We're From Software. You know? I don't know. Sorry, I don't want to brag on them. They make cool games.
Definitely.
It just kind of dawned on me, like, that's kind of a bizarre name.
I mean, it definitely stands out, but yeah, it's like, what?
Armored Core is a pretty popular series. There's like 20 games.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
There's at least like 5 Armored Core 2s. It's kind of crazy.
No, it's funny.
When I was younger, I played it a lot, but it's too technical, man. I don't know. Also, the controls are kind of wacky.
Mm-hmm. No, it's funny. I was looking for a cable, actually yesterday, for one of my systems. And I said, oh, you know, I think it's in the attic in this bin where I have one of two 3DOs that I have, and old keyboards, and 204 Sega Genesis Model 2s that I have as well stored. And I actually realized I have the keyboard and mouse for the Dreamcast. So I thought, ooh, Typing of the Dead. I definitely have to pick that up again.
You know, people actually develop games for the Dreamcast still. Like third party, like not even third party, indie. There's indie games for the Dreamcast. Did you know that?
Yeah, I've been keeping up on some news. There's this pretty cool site, anybody who's interested, retrocollect.com. I think they're from the UK. And this one article I've been following. So one of the hardest things to find for the Dreamcast is a broadband adapter. Because I guess there weren't that many. And, you know, now they're really rare. And, you know, there's still games online like Phantasy Star and all that. But one guy, I think he's from the UK as well, he's actually trying to reverse engineer his own broadband adapter to sell it. So that'd be sweet. I mean, even though it's, you know, you could say it's a dumb idea, but can you imagine playing Quake on the Dreamcast online? Hell yeah, that'd be awesome.
It's nifty. I don't know if it's awesome.
No, but you could actually play it with the keyboard and mouse if you have them.
This is silly. Like, why would you want to play Quake on a Dreamcast like that? Like, it's cool, I guess.
No, yeah, I mean, it's this really weird idea. I mean, again, stuff that I missed out on back in the day that, you know, now I'm trying to make up for.
Like, what is the novelty there? Like, you can play Quake now on Steam with a mouse and keyboard. Like, what are you getting out of the Dreamcast? It's like, you just look down, hey, it's on a Dreamcast. That's kind of cool. Is that all you're getting out of that?
No, yeah, definitely. No, yeah, plus, for me, the Dreamcast is, like, the greatest machine ever made. But again, I mean, me being
Roberto,
a Sega fan. Yeah,
Roberto.
Yeah.
Roberto, come on. Come on, man. I mean, I was right there with you for a while. You know, like, I love Sega. I grew up with Sega, but, you know,
definitely not the greatest thing ever made.
Well, no, yeah, yeah, I mean, definitely, but I mean, again, you know, that soft spot for, you know, that four-letter logo, and I mean, that was my wallpaper for, I want to say, how long have I been using a computer for? I want to say, I was pretty late into that, too. I want to say, let's say 15 years ago. For at least 10 of those years, my wallpaper was something Sega-related with the logo around it. So, yeah, dude, I mean, I'm a shit. I'd probably name each one of my children Sega, like Master System. You're Genesis. You're the Sega CD. You're the Dreamcast.
Would you do it in chronological order? So the first one would be the Master System, and then the second one would be Genesis?
Probably, or if they were short, you're the Game Gear. You're the Nomad.
Say if you had like three kids, would that bother you? Would that bother you because you didn't get all the Genesis consoles? So like, would you have like five kids just to get like, how many Genesis consoles are there? Or Sega consoles, like five?
Sure, let's see. The handhelds. Let's see. Master System. Well, are you counting each version? For example, the Genesis has three versions, and you could maybe
not necessarily, Roberto, but
just like the name, just the name,
just the name. Like, would you feel like you had to have another kid just so you can name it after that console? Like, I gotta get the Dreamcast in.
No, it's funny actually. As a joke, I was thinking of you know, I would tell my wife, oh yeah, you know, we're having a full soccer team. That's 11 players. That's 11 kids. And at least, you know, one of them has to, you know, be a pro soccer player, and then, you know, we could live off of him. But, I mean, Sega consoles are what? The Master System, the Genesis, well, you could count the Sega CD, the Saturn, the Dreamcast, the Nomad, and the Game Gear, that's seven. Am I missing anything?
No, I don't. Never even heard of the Nomad. I never heard of it.
You never heard of the Nomad? Do you know? You don't know what it is, right?
No.
It'll actually play your Genesis carts.
Okay.
And it has a thumbstick and the six buttons. I mean, I'll send you a link to it. But okay. I mean, that's probably, I want to say that's probably the rarest thing to find. Maybe that's probably even up there with a working Model 1 Sega CD where the tray actually ejects and it's not the flip top of the Model 2 Sega CD. I think that those two are the hardest ones to find. One thing I've been wanting to do is actually get arcade sticks for every console I have, but all the like the legit arcade sticks. Like, for example, like I think one of the best arcade sticks out there was the arcade stick for the Dreamcast. A lot of people called it the Green Monster. It was that, you know, the board itself had the Dreamcast colors, but the buttons and, you know, the round tab on the stick were green. And I mean, those things are like $150 if you find them, and that's, you know, that's.
Bro,
that's,
do you play fighting games?
Oh hell yeah, dude! I mean, I'm not good at them, but you know, we play them. Actually, last week we were playing this old Dragon Ball Z game on PS1. It's called, what's it called? Final Bout.
And that game's terrible.
It's funny because all the characters are vertex colored, and all the environments are flat images. And I mean, yeah, it's terrible, but it, you know, it's stupid fun. But, I mean, it would be cool to get, especially arcade sticks for, like, the original Xbox, because I have some arcade stuff on there, and, you know, it'd be sweet to, you know, be playing Metal Slug with an arcade stick, like, you know, back in high school, that'd be sweet.
I never got an arcade stick before. I guess, I thought maybe I'd get one for the Super Nintendo. I have a couple fighting games for that that'd be kind of cool, but, I just don't see a reason for it. Like, I don't really play a lot of, I don't play a lot of fighting games with people.
Mm-hmm.
I think the only fighting game I've been really playing with people is Smash Brothers recently.
Yeah.
But other than that, not really. I mean, maybe I can get online with Mortal Kombat or something, but...
Yeah, I mean, definitely, you know, give it a try. It's great. But yeah, I mean, basically just... I mean, for me, you know, beat-em-ups like on PS3, I know both of us, we have X-Men, and, you know, The Simpsons is out as well. You know, Turtles in Time, like, those games, like, yeah, I'd love to play with an arcade stick. I mean, you know, they work fine with the controller, but, you know, I remember back in the day, you know, going to the theater, and before, you know, you go into the movie, you know, you drop a quarter and play, you know, a round of The Simpsons, and you probably wouldn't even make it to the boss, but, you know, it was awesome just, you know, playing with other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Man, you know, Terradrome, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think they just fixed their multiplayer. Like, I saw a post that they made, like, not too long ago. I think they have their multiplayer all fixed. Played a little bit of that recently. That was pretty cool.
Nice. Are there a lot of people online?
I couldn't get to play online, but apparently I've seen posts that their multiplayer has been fixed. I think their servers are only up for a certain amount of time a day day, so that's kind of disappointing. But man, if we ever get a studio, dude, I'm getting an arcade cabinet and putting Terradrome in it. That's the plan. That's a fucking good game, man. Of course it's good. It's got all the horror icons in it, but it's fun. Yeah, for all you that don't know, Terradrome is a horror fighting game with like Freddy, Jason, all those guys in it, and it's great. It's great. It's like, it feels like old school Mortal Kombat, but it's a blast. You could check it out. But yeah, they have online multiplayer, but you know, it works every once in a while.
Yeah, I'm surprised they don't have any like a tournament. I mean, I'm sure that could attract a lot of people, and you know, I could imagine the trophy for that thing. That'll be awesome. What could it be? It couldn't be a glove, like a Freddy glove, if you know, you win the tournament with Chucky or something. But I mean, it could be a cool horror related, you know, piece of silverware. That thing could look awesome.
Yeah, I think Hurricane Studios made that. You ever heard of them?
I saw the post from. The last time when I was following it, you know, constantly, I think there was only one guy working on it, and he would throw up pictures on Facebook of, you know, him working on an environment or something. But yeah. I'm not sure if they've grown bigger.
No, they actually are doing another game called Land of Labyrinth.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like a maze fantasy game. It's very different from Terradrome, which is kind of surprising, but I guess it's like one of his passion projects, so yeah, if you guys are interested, go check that out. But yeah, check out Hurricane Studios and Terradrome and Land of Labyrinth. Those are some cool games. Land of Labyrinth looks cool. I mean, they did a Kickstarter that was canceled, but they were greenlit on Steam, so
oh, nice.
Check them out. They're cool, yeah. We've hit about an hour, and I really have to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, dude,
should we wrap this up? Yeah.
Yeah, dude. No, yeah. I mean, final notes from myself. I mean, anybody listening who has been listening and, you know, they're interested in, you know, Puppet Master and Horror Legends, you know, keep up with us on, you know, all the social media, Twitter, Facebook, SoundCloud. You know, come to the website, to the new and improved octobergames.com. All our info is there as well. And, you know, come check out the forum, all that. You know, we did go dark for a while, you know, we got greenlit and we got the new stuff up and running. But, you know, now that we've been working, you know, updates are coming and, you know, we will be, you know, active. We definitely want to share the work with everybody and, you know, drop by, hang out. And again, if you're in the Seattle area in the summer, you know, come say hi at Crypticon, same deal, hang out, have fun.
Yeah, come, we're all going to be there.
Come get chased by Mr. Punky.
Yeah, me, you're coming. Mm-hmm. You better be coming. James Tregesser is going to be there, Dan Piccarillo, and you know, a few others that are going to be helping out. Matt Smith, Patrick, and this, come say hi to us. We'll be there at the table. I second what you were saying, Roberto, and if you have any questions for us for the next podcast, to when we get around to making it, I know I said these are monthly, but well, yeah, sometimes you just get really busy, especially with we have such a full plate like we do right now. We might not be able to get around to it. But if you want to send us a question or email us, info@octobergames.com, or you can log on to our forum and ask us directly. I think we'll be able to respond quicker, but if you just want to hear it on the podcast, email us at info@octobergames.com. So I think that about wraps it up. Thanks everyone for listening, and this is Drake signing out. Roberto?
Cool, yeah. So Roberto, I'm out of here. I'm going to go get more beer and probably play some old school stuff.
All right, man.
All right, dude.
All right. See ya.
Later.